Hey, Prime members, you can listen to The Lead ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Hey, everyone. I just wanted to point out that this episode that you're listening to right now is actually from our spinoff podcast, The Lead Starting Five. That is our daily 10-minute sports news show. That show has its own feed with new episodes publishing there every Monday through Friday. And we'll keep airing episodes here on The Lead's feed on Mondays just to introduce more people to that show. So go check it out and subscribe if you like it. All right, here's today's episode.
Huber, Holder, from 29 yards away. Oh, he missed it badly!
The Cincinnati Bengals lose a weird one at home to start the season.
Teenage tennis phenom Carlos Alcaraz wins the U.S. Open and makes history in the process.
And Asia Wilson puts her team on her back in Game 1 of the WNBA Finals.
I feel like there were some sports this weekend.
Yeah, just a few events. Yeah. From Wondery, I'm Sarah Cazell.
And I'm Andres Kelto. It's Monday, September 12th, and this is Starting Five. Five sports headlines in 10 minutes.
All right, let's start out in the NFL, where on Sunday, we got our first glimpse of last year's Super Bowl runners-up, the Cincinnati Bengals. And Anders, just like the defending Super Bowl champion Rams, who lost to the Bills on Thursday, the Bengals kicked off their 2022 season with a loss.
They sure did. And Sarah, what a loss it was. It was a wild one. Now, of course, needless to say, there are very high expectations for Joe Burrow in year three, but this was not a game he's going to want to remember. Burrow got picked off four times in this one, including this interception by Steelers D-back Cameron Sutton, Burrow's third pick in the first half alone.
Burrow airs it out again. Burrow's pass intercepted by Sutton. The Pittsburgh Steelers continue to come away with a football.
Now, it wasn't clear how much of this was Burrow and the Bengals being bad offensively and how much of this was the Steelers being really good defensively, probably a little of both. But, you know, despite an overall not great performance by this Bengals offense, they still had every chance to win this game. And it looked like they were about to do just that when Ja'Marr Chase caught a TD pass with 2 seconds left to make the game 20-20. All the Bengals had to do was kick that extra point, and this one was over, Sarah. But playing without their regular long snapper, this happened.
Oh, no.
Trying to complete the wrap. McPherson, it's blocked! What a turn of events! Minka Fitzpatrick! A slow snap, and the whole operation took too long.
Fast forward to overtime, where things got even weirder. The Bengals missed yet another kick, a field goal that would have won the game, and the Steelers also missed a potential game-winning kick.
From 55 yards away, Boswell. No good! What is happening here? He banged it off the post. This is a thud heard all the way in Pittsburgh.
Clearly, the person most confused by how many kicks were missed in this game, Sarah, was announcer Ian Eagle. And, you know, a game that probably should have ended in some sort of missed kick mercy rule tie instead ended with the Steelers kicking a football that actually went through the uprights. Final score, wow. Steelers 23, Bengals 20. One unfortunate note for the Steelers here. Running back Najee Harris limped out of this game with a lower leg injury, and linebacker TJ Watt left the game with what is believed to be a torn pectoral muscle.
Two big injuries there. Elsewhere in the AFC North, Lamar Jackson, who is fresh off of reportedly turning down a near $250 million contract, he dismantled the Jets, throwing for three touchdowns. And then the Browns eked one out over the Carolina Panthers and former Browns quarterback Baker Mayfield. The AFC North already shaping up to be quite an interesting division yet again.
Okay, sticking with that North theme, but moving from the AFC over to the NFC, the Green Bay Packers, who are not unfamiliar with bad first games of the season, Sarah, kicked off their 2022 season with a loss that was sort of like what would happen if every Packers fan's biggest fear about this year's team actually came true.
That's right. One of the storylines coming out of Packers training camp this summer was Aaron Rodgers' frustration with dropped passes by his receivers. And we saw a lot of that on Sunday, starting with Green Bay's very first offensive play of the game.
New Year Rodgers going to unleash, going deep. Watson, the rookie, drops it. He was wide open, and Christian Watson dropped what would have been a touchdown.
Oof. Meanwhile, on the other side of the ball, if you had Vikings wide receiver Justin Jefferson on your fantasy team, you were celebrating because by the end of the first half, he had outgained the entire Packers offense. Wow. 158 yards for Jefferson, 101 yards for Green Bay. Mm. Wow, indeed. Now, the Packers' lone touchdown in this game came on the ground, so no TD passes for Aaron Rodgers. He threw for 195 yards, one interception, and was sacked four times in his first game without his former favorite target, Davante Adams. And the 23-7 loss was the biggest margin of victory for the Vikings against the Packers with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback. Mm. Now, according to Rodgers, the sky is not falling just yet in Green Bay. You have to remember in week one of last season, the Packers lost to New Orleans 38-3. Anders, as you may remember, they ended up going 13-4 and nabbed the one seed in the playoffs.
Sure did.
After Sunday's loss, Rodgers said this year's first game was actually better than last year's first game.
I feel like we had a much better performance. We scored four more points than we did that day. There's a lot to build on when you compare the two. Look, it's tough to win in this league and definitely tough to win when you get in your own way too many times. So,
well, Anders, at least he could joke about it, right?
Yeah, well, as is often the case with Aaron Rodgers, I actually couldn't tell when he was joking and when he was being serious in that press conference. But
touché.
Sarah, while we're talking NFC North, we should mention that the Bears pulled off a rather surprising win on a very soggy, slip-and-slidey Soldier Field, taking down the Niners 19-10. Justin Fields getting the edge over Trey Lance there in the battle of sophomore QBs. And want to give a big shout-out, even in a loss, to my Detroit Lions, who I'm hereby declaring America's favorite team that is currently appearing on Hard Knocks. They at least made things interesting against the fashionable NFC Super Bowl pick, the Philadelphia Eagles, losing only 38-35.
And a few other notable results from Sunday. Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs cruised to victory over the Arizona Cardinals. Justin Herbert and the Chargers beat the Raiders 24-19. And Tom Brady and the Bucks knocked off the Cowboys, who saw Dak Prescott pick up a hand injury that will require surgery and will keep him out for several weeks. That's according to Jerry Jones. All right, let's move over to tennis, where fans gathered in New York on the 21st anniversary of 9/11 to watch the U.S. Open men's final. And at a star-studded affair, fans spotted in the crowd included Jerry Seinfeld and Lin-Manuel Miranda, to name a few. It was 19-year-old Spaniard Carlos Alcaraz who stole the show, winning his first Grand Slam tournament.
Yeah, and Sarah, in a sport that has been dominated for so long by three superstars on the men's side, Federer, Nadal, Djokovic, this match, it felt like a glimpse of the future of men's tennis. Mm. And you had 19-year-old Alcaraz duking it out with 23-year-old Norwegian Casper Ruud, not only for the U.S. Open title, but also for the number one world ranking. And these two played, frankly, some of the best and most entertaining tennis that you'll see. Alcaraz, in particular, really went for it on the big points. He hit aggressive forehands, risky drop shots, and he charged to the net constantly, which made for a lot of memorable points, including this one, which sent the third set into a pivotal tiebreak for Alcaraz.
I think we're getting pretty much everything we could hope for in this final with these two young kids.
Spectacular punctuation to by far the longest and most dramatic game of the match.
With his victory, Alcaraz became the youngest player to win the U.S. Open since Pete Sampras in 1990, and he is now the first teenager to ever hold the number one world ranking.
Wow.
The U.S. Open crowd, by the way, really got behind Alcaraz during this match, and afterwards, he got a bit emotional when talking about his achievement.
you know, to be number one in the world, to be champions of a Grand Slam. This is something that I work really, really hard for. It's tough to talk right now, a lot of emotions right now, but yeah, it's...
And Sarah, this felt like it could be the beginning of a great rival between Alcaraz and Ruud, who are now number one and number two in the world. There were some great displays of respect and sportsmanship between these two during the match. So between that and the incredible tennis, I am all in on future matchups between these two.
Oh, gotta love that. Sign me up too. I'm on board as well. And in case you missed it, over on the women's side on Saturday, world number one Iga Swiatek continued her dominance, taking down Tunisian Ons Jabeur to win her third Grand Slam title and her second this year.
Now to Sin City, where the WNBA Finals got underway on Sunday afternoon, and the home team, the Las Vegas Aces, pulled out a hard-fought, dare I say grinding, 67-64 win over the Connecticut Sun to take a 1-0 lead in this series, Sarah.
Yeah, grinding is a perfectly appropriate word to use here, Anders. The larger story of this series is a clash of styles. You've got the league's top offense in the Aces facing the league's top grindy defense in the Sun. And we definitely saw the Sun succeed at slowing down the Aces' offensive flow for so much of the game. Messy basketball, as Sun head coach Kurt Miller likes to call it. Most notably in the second quarter, Las Vegas only scored 9 points.
Wow.
The Sun also held the Aces, who had been shooting 43% from three during the postseason, to just 21% from behind the arc. But despite the fact that the Sun was successful at slowing this game down, Aces star Asia Wilson showed exactly why she was voted the league MVP and Defensive Player of the Year this season. She led all scorers with 24 points, 11 rebounds, 4 blocks, and 2 steals.
That's a stat line.
It really is. And Wilson really changed the game's momentum with about 6 minutes left in the fourth, giving us defense on one end of the court and then turning it into offense on the other.
Denied by Wilson. Wilson's second block. Cutting and finishing. Beating Bonner back down the floor. Asia Wilson forces a Connecticut timeout.
After that end-to-end play, Vegas led the rest of the way. And Wilson said post-game that she actually had to shake her teammates awake to make sure that they didn't let game one slip.
Team like that, I had to really reel my team in. I don't know what we were thinking, but I really had to use my voice this time and just say, get with it. Get with it, or we're going to lose. So at the end of the day, we just had to really come together and buckle in, because Khan's going to give us all they got, and we got to do the same.
Now, from the Aces' perspective, Anders, it's got to be pretty encouraging that they were still able to pull off a win after being taken out of their own game for so much of this contest. And then if you're the Sun, you're thinking like, well, what in the world do we have to do to beat this team?
For sure. Game two of this best of five chess match is set for Tuesday night in Las Vegas. Now, many of you might not be able to remember this long ago, but on Saturday, there were a lot of upsets in college football. Number 6, Texas A&M lost to Appalachian State. You heard that correctly. Number 8, Notre Dame lost to Marshall. That sent the Irish tumbling out of the rankings altogether. Number 9, Baylor lost to number 21, BYU. Even number 1, Alabama barely held on to victory against Texas, a result that sent them to number 2 in the rankings behind now top-ranked Georgia. You got all that, Sarah?
Oh, yeah. I'm following.
Okay. Meanwhile, another team that got upset on Saturday has now made a change at the top.
Ooh, that is right, Anders. Just 3 weeks into Nebraska's season, head coach Scott Frost is out of a job. He was fired by his alma mater, no less, on Sunday. The day after, Anders, let this soak in, a 45-42 loss to Georgia Southern. Whew. Georgia Southern. Who?
Yeah. Let's go. I want to say Hawks?
Sure. It's probably the Hawks. Nebraska had been favored by 3 touchdowns in that one, by the way. Now, the Fire Scott Frost train started to pick up steam after Nebraska's pretty puzzling loss to Northwestern in Ireland back in week 0. The Cornhuskers then beat North Dakota last week, but I will say it again, lost to Georgia Southern. So Frost is now done after 4 seasons plus a couple weeks with a 16-31 record.
Yikes.
Here is Nebraska Athletic Director Trev Alberts speaking about the decision on Sunday.
We needed to do something. We needed to inject something into this team to give them the confidence and hopefully help them compete. Nothing would please me more than to to see a pretty significant change and help this team get over the hump and win some games.
Now, Anders, here's what makes this move all the more notable. Had Nebraska waited until October 1st or later to fire Scott Frost, his buyout would have been $7.5 million. But he is getting his full $15 million now because the school was not willing to wait three more weeks to fire him.
Nebraska saying they would rather spend $7.5 million than have Scott Frost around any longer. Incredible.
Big time yikes. Big time yikes. Well, that's all we have for you today. From Wondery, I'm Sarah Cazell.
And I'm Andres Kelto. Thanks for listening.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to The Lead ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. And before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
If you travel for work, you know to pack two suits, business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you-know-business.